have the traditional Memorial Day message, and that is probably a first for me in all the many years by which I have been behind a pulpit. And so, but I'm going to continue on in the sermon series Homework, Working Toward a Godly Home. Homework, Working Toward a Godly Home. So I invite your attention to Exodus chapter 20. And so we started this on Mother's Day, and then last week we looked at home improvement, and then today we're looking at the family business. Exodus chapter 20, and just one verse of Scripture, and you say, well, we'll be out here in no time. How's that been working out for you lately? And so now we're going to be looking at this passage of Scripture here in verse 12 about honoring thy father and thy mother, and you say, well, I don't have any kids. That's okay. You were a kid and you've got a mom, and so there you go, mother and father. And so this would apply to you as well, okay? Well, I don't have any kids in the home. Well, what about grandkids? You have grandkids, and so therefore, what about, you know, just on and on it goes. And so God's Word applies to all of us, and so we can take it and use some portion here and there. And so don't tune me out in this homework series, okay, that we're working toward. Being a parent, it's not easy. Someone has said, if you have a lot of tension and you get a headache, do what it says on the aspirin bottle. Take two and keep away from children. There you go. Another has said that raising a teenager is like trying to nail Jell-O to a tree. And so you can remember those, I guess. And a bumper sticker says, insanity is hereditary. I got mine from my children. And so there you go. I don't know about inherit or insanity from my children, but I inherited quite a few things from those. Family business is what we want to talk about here today. There are some parents that start and build a family business, and they invest their whole lives into the family business in hopes that they can one day hand it over to their children and that they can continue on then in the family business. There's one problem that usually happens there is as they kind of fail at the business of building the family is what usually happens. It usually gets neglected by trying to build the family business over here, and they forget about the family building that needs to be done over here as well. And so the business of the family is that is to prepare your child for a proper relationship with God and man. And what we find here is in Moses is giving out the Ten Commandments, and you're familiar with those, and he starts out with the first four that deal with God and how we're to only have one God and no false gods, and we're to set aside a day of rest for God and those things. And then he gets to commandment five, and there it talks about the home, the moms and dads here, the honor mother and father. And then he goes on to say, well, don't steal from one another, don't lie to one another, don't commit adultery, don't commit covetry. And so right in the middle of right here, he's got four about God, our commandment toward God, relationship toward him, and then the rest of them deal with men. And right in the middle of that is the family. Right in the family. Right in the middle of that. A child's attitude about God and others is first formed and fashioned by the attitudes their parents have about God and others. Parents are to bring them up in the admonition of the Lord, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is, in an environment that is friendly toward God and toward others as well. Preaching and teaching God's Word, but also being a good neighbor as well, and loving others as you do unto yourself. The golden rule, those things as well are to be done. The first example of how to relate to those around you are learned in the home. You remember moms and dads, okay? Now, their rules in which they had, and one that sticks out with me the most, and it still irks me today. You know, mom says, well, do we have enough? And to go around, you know, we got popsicles, icicles, you know, in the summertime, she said popsicles, and we'd always, you know, all the neighborhood kids would always come to our house, you know, and she'd say, no, you can't have any. Well, why can't I? Because there's some in there. There's not enough to go around. So nobody got any. You see, that was mom's rule. still sticks with me today. And so I always look to see, okay, how many are going to be here? Well, we don't have enough to go around. And we don't get it out. We leave it alone. We leave it out of sight there. And so there's things like that that we learned from growing up in the home. And so somebody has noted that if a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn in the home. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight, does he not? He gets angry toward anyone and everyone. If a child lives with tolerance, though, he learns to be patient toward others. If a child lives with praise, he learns to be appreciative instead of complaining all the time. You know what, a child, you know, when you go home and you're on the way home, you say, oh, I can't believe the pastor went over 10 minutes today, and I can't believe the temperature in the building was, you know, 5 degrees warmer than it usually is, and they just complain. What do you think they're gaining and going to grab a hold of and think about and act and respond to the church then? If mom and dads are just complaining all the time about it. If a child lives with acceptance, then he learns how to love others as well. If a child lives with security, he learns to trust Christ as Savior, trust in himself and others as well. The family business is about the family. The family business is about the family. In this verse of Scripture, we see God in this. We see parents in this, the moms and dads, the mothers and fathers, and we also see the children in this. It takes all three here, especially God. All three are needed to make the family business a success. The problem we have today is that parents are outsourcing the work. Outsourcing is one of those office terms that they throw around and use now, you know. And everybody's outsourcing everything, you know, to get this person to do it because I can get it done cheaper over there and I can go on and do something else over here. And so that's what's happening today. And so parents are outsourcing their work with daycare, TV, internet, and babysitters, and on it goes. We have to get back to the family business as God designed, or we're going to go out of business. And dare I say, isn't that already what's happening today? My wife and I, we sat down to eat yesterday, a little bit of the news, you know, a couple of minutes or so, and there's this whole mob of teens up in New Jersey somewhere that's just going down the streets, and they're just as violent as can be, smashing everything, jumping on vehicles, you know, bodily harm to others as well, for apparently no reason at all. The news commentator says, she asked a question. You know what question she asked? Where are the parents? Where are the parents? Huh. You see how important the parents are in this. We're to have a relationship with God again and again. And moms and dads are right in the middle of it so that we make sure that our children have a relationship with God. And then after all the rest of the commandments here is to make sure that they do these things as well. And so moms and dads have this great responsibility right here in the middle here. This is what the family business is all about that God has designed. What is needed in the family business? I'm glad you asked. Verse 12, he says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land of the Lord thy God giveth thee. And so they're getting ready to go into the promised land. And he says, you know, if you want to live long and prosper, as Spock would say, that you need to make sure that you honor your mother and father. Dare I say, all of us here today have a mother or father. Now, they may have gone on to be with the Lord at this point in life, but they're still our mother and father. And you are not off the hook from honoring their lives. Honoring your moms and dads is a lifetime responsibility and ministry for your life. This is the command that God gives. Not just when you're 15 in the house. And then when you turn 18, I'm out of the house, goodbye. I don't have to honor mom and dad no more. That's not what the Bible says. He says, honor thy mother and thy father, and it lasts as long as you live. Being a parent is not easy, I said. First of all, what's needed is follow the role that's described by God. Follow the role that is described by God. We're going to look at several passages of Scripture, and I'll just quote them for you for time's sake today in Ephesians 6 and in Colossians as well. And so being a parent is not easy. When it comes to being a parent, we often feel like, you know, the man in the grocery store was pushing his cart around. He had a few groceries in the cart and a screaming baby. You been in the store with those? You can hear him on the other side of Walmart over there. Somebody's not happy today. As the man went along in the aisles, you know, he kept repeating, "Keep calm, George. Keep calm. George, don't get excited. George, don't yell. George." And lady saw the man, and she said to the man, "You certainly are to be condemned or commended for your patience in trying to keep little George quiet." And he looked at the woman and declared, "I'm George." He says, "I'm trying to stay calm. I'm trying to stay." You know, we all have, as a parent, we get that away sometimes, do we not? We just get so, you know, and we're trying to maintain our cool as a parent. Being a parent is anything but easy, but it is a great responsibility, but it also brings great rewards as well. You know, it's the most important and I believe influential role in developing a child's relationship with both God and man. You have a greater responsibility than the preacher in the pulpit, the teacher at school. It is your responsibility. Take a look. Because of this, God demands that you be a good parent. God demands that you be a good parent. Now, all of us have not had good parents. You say, "Well, see, I don't have to honor them because they weren't a very good parent." No, you still do. Because that's a command that God gave to you in the way in which you live your life. That you're going to stand before God, not your parents, okay? They'll stand before God on their own. But you will stand before God on how you honored your parents. "Oh, but they weren't any good. I don't know my parents." And so, but the way in which you live your life to God and others can bring honor to them. You see that? But let's talk here. Good parents give their children roots and wings. Roots to know where home is. Wings to fly and exercise what they've been taught. Dare I say, you know, sometimes I scratch my head and I wonder, you know, when they come back and they've got the grandkids in tow and they got the bags and so forth. They say, "Where are you coming?" And so, "You're only going to stay for a week, right?" "You're not moving back in, you know." And I wonder, did I do right? You know, did I give them the wings that they were supposed to fly and push them out of the nest sort of thing? And so, you know, I wonder that what kind of job did I do? As a good parent, your goal is to prepare and equip your children for the world around them and the life they will live out in that world. Dare I say, that's what, you know, we're seeing on the news and these young people, you know, they're just, there's nothing in the home. The parents aren't there. And so they're just doing what comes natural in this old sin nature that we're born with. And so out they go. A good parent teaches their children how to relate to others. Paul told the Ephesians, he says, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ hath forgiven you." Oh, wouldn't that go a long ways in our homes today? Just to be tenderhearted toward others. Instead of just angry and eaten up, you know, inside. And I got to be first and I'm going to be number one. And it's all about me. And I want what I want. What kind of husband or wife will your children be? What kind of father or mother will your children be? What kind of employee or employer will your children be? How will your children treat others and feel about others? How will they accept or respond to others? I'll tell you. The same way you do. Primarily the same way in which you do in life. Because you're the one that's setting that example. You're the role model in the home. You know what a model is? I'm a model parent. You know what a model is? It's a small imitation of the real thing. And so don't pat yourself too much on the back, because you're just a small imitation. That this is what you to pattern your life so that they can see this. There, you know, that's why church today is dwindling. That's why we say, we don't know what's wrong with the youth. Where are the youth in the church today? Well, could it be that when we were raising them in, you know, in church, that, you know, we came on Sundays and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and then, you know, we got to the point we got busy out in the world and we got to doing things, and no longer we come on Wednesday night anymore. Wednesday night was, ooh, it's ball game time. And so we go to the ball games, you see, and then we go there. And so they saw, you know what they see when you do that? church is not important. Ball games are an exception. So if that's an exception, there'll be another one here and another one there. My boys knew. They knew when it was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They didn't get up in the morning and say, "We're going to church today." Not once did they ever ask. I mean, we got a foot of snow one Sunday morning, and they never even asked. They just got up and figured that we were going and had to tell them, "Well, we're not going. We're going to go a little while later because it was still snowing." And I said, "We'll go a little while later and clear the parking lot." But there's no church today. And so they thought we were still going. And you say, "Well, no, you were harsh. You were too tough." No, I was doing what God called me to do. And what I still do today, I'm not puffing myself up or patting myself on the back. It's just using that as an example that what happens, you know, when you're raising them, whatever foothold the devil can get into, whatever it is that you kind of set aside here and there, and they see those inconsistencies that gets magnified in their life, and then with their inconsistencies, with their children, and then before long, there's no one. No one cares anymore. And so do they learn that marriage in the home is a wonderful, loving, affectionate, caring relationship? Or is their first impressions of marriage is one of strife and fighting and screaming and discontent? You know, I think of the mother who heard the children. They were screaming at the top of their lungs down the hall in the bedroom there. She thought, "What in the world? Sounds like two cats fighting back there." And so she runs down the hall. She opens the door and says, "What in the world is going on in here?" One of them replied, "Nothing's wrong. We're just playing mommy and daddy." If a child sees a parent who cheats and lies and bends the rules and mistreats others, there's a good chance that they'll end up doing the same. They'll end up doing the same as well. What are your children learning from you? Are they learning to properly relate to others? If a child is to grow up and have a proper relationship with others, a good parent is what's needed. And then we also see that God desires you to be a godly parent as well. You know, young Timothy, you know, he had his grandmother, and then his mother, you know, taught him. And so, and on, Paul said, now that you're older, he says, remember back when those days and what they were teaching you. And so stand upon those truths that were built into your life and the foundation by which you were given there as well. A good parent needs to have a proper relationship with others. A godly parent needs to have a proper relationship with God. And it starts first and foremost with the Lord Jesus Christ, in giving your heart and life over to Him, the one that the first four commandments all refer to, that you're not to have any other God, and He is to be first and foremost in your life as well. And He sent His Son Jesus to die on Calvary's cross for your sin, and He waits for you to admit your sinfulness, believe that He died on the cross for your sin, and you call out to Him, "Lord Jesus, forgive me, I'm a sinner. I believe you died for me. And the best way I know how, I want you to be my Savior." And you know, when you pray that prayer, you know what He says? You know what His answer is? It's yes. 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 With a whole heart, yes. If you want godly children, you've got to be godly parents. If you want a child that'll love God, you must love God. If you want children that'll serve God, you too must serve God as well. And so the Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way in which he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. The word train means to initiate. It's up to you to initiate that training there as well, and to teaching him in the way in which he should go in life. And that is to love God with all your heart and to treat others as you would yourself. And so we can't be over here so busy in the family business of things, making money, that the family business, the business of family over here, falls by the wayside as well. The idea is that a parent is to teach their children by example. You know, and I believe there's a major problem in the home today. That is the role reversal in the home today. Children are doing what they want, dictating what the parents are to do in the homes. Now, I don't know about you, but that didn't fly in my house. you know. You know, and I said, you know, when I said something, you'd say, well, you were just mean. My boys grew up, they survived, and so, you know, they went on with life. And so, you know, I tell them a lot of times, and it says, you obey, because that's what the Bible says. Oh, but what about such and such? And it's, well, okay, but it's what I say as well. And there you go. That ends it. I'm done. I'm not debating this. It is not an issue up for debate or argument or whatever. It's because I said so, so go and do it. And it's not I said so, but I don't do it myself, you see. Huh. I never did any of that. Not they found out about. But you're to be a good and godly parent. Parents need to follow the role God has for them. And you're to be a good and godly parent is the role that he has for you. Now let's move on. And what's needed in a family business? Focus on the respect that is demanded by God. Focus on the respect that's demanded by God. This verse speaks to the parent, but also to the children as well. And now when I say children, that applies to you as well, okay? Because you're still a child, okay? And if your mom were here, she'd say, yes, he's my little boy, you know, because they always see you in that light, okay? And so this applies to all of us as well, not just the toddlers that are running around. And again, we'll go to Ephesians here in just a minute as well. And so this verse speaks to both. It says to the child, honor thy father and thy mother. The parents have the role of rearing the child. The child has the responsibility of respecting the parent. Dare I say, my boys never called me old man. That was, hey, old man. That didn't, you certainly not talking to me, are you? No, they would back off that real quick. And so you know, I've met in work this past week two families that I met. And so the one, it was an older teen, I guess, you know, maybe 16, 17. He came in the house with his father right behind him, and I shook his hand and said, hey, it's nice to meet you. I'm Bill. And he never said a word. He went on, and his dad stopped dead in the tracks right here, and he says, he asked you what your name was. Speak to him with some reverence, or not reverence, but respect. And so, wow, look at that. Dad said, I'm going to stop. We're going to stop right here. This is what I demand, you see. And he did, and he apologized and went on. And again, now we get to some younger ones, you know, just the same thing. He said, he asked you how you were doing. He's speaking to you. Answer. Respect, you don't have respect anymore. But it's the parents then that ought to initiate this, you see, in their lives. And so train up a child that is initiate these things. And so parents need to demand respect, not just for them. And it's not an ego type thing. It's a Bible thing is what it is, because it will teach respect to those out in the community as well, especially if you get into a sideswipe with a police officer somewhere. Okay, you come into contact with a police officer, you'd better show some respect. It'll go a long way into resolving whatever issue might be there as well. Huh. Child has a responsibility of respecting their parents. Honor is to be shown by the children to the parent. We see honor is a reaction that is expected. Bible speaks of two stages here, okay? First, there's the stage of reaction. This is what we find in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And that's what Ephesians says. 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And so this is the child reacts to the commands of the parent, and he carries the weight of authority here. The child's supposed to listen. This is because of what I said. It's because it's what the Bible says. And you say, you know, no debate. That ends it. And so it carries the idea of authority. At this child, at this point in stage in life of the child is under the authority of the parents. Children are to obey their parents. But as they get older, which most of us fall into this category, the second stage describes one of respect as well. The second stage, here stage 2 is where we find in this verse. At this stage, a child honors the parent. Honor thy father and mother. The word honor means to give weight to hold in high esteem. How many of us, when we were 16, 17, 18, 19 years old, dad was the dumbest person around? Mom didn't know anything either. You know, we were so much smarter in life, were we not? Yeah, boy. You know, with today, after now we've outgrown all of that, hopefully, okay, and we get into having a little respect for them, hold them in high esteem. And so they're a priority in our lives. And we're here to help them as they helped us when we were younger in life as well. Parents are to be honored and held in high esteem by their children. The word honor, and you never get too old as moms and dads to honor your parents. And because when you do, when your parents are aged, and then as you honor them, your children are watching you, and then they will then have children that they'll watch them as well. And it's a generational thing as we honor parents. They see by example. There comes a time in a child's life when they're no longer under the authority of the parents. They're adults, make their own decisions. They're no longer commanded to obey the parents. That now they have a direct responsibility and accountability to God Himself. And so, but they do not get out from under, you do not get out from under honoring your parents. That is, giving them the weight, the consideration by which they deserve. They're to be a priority on your list. This is the family business here, is about the family. And so we're to take care of them as well. We're to remember them and the things that they've taught us if they've gone on to be with the Lord. And that is, we live out some of those things by which they taught us. We live our lives in such a way that they are still honored and that their memories wouldn't be tarnished because of the way in which we've fallen off the truck. You see, and we're over here doing things that we ought not to do, that they would never approve of. And it certainly goes against Scripture as well. Honor is a reaction, but honor is also a response that is earned. You know, you can make people obey you, except for peas. They never want to eat their peas. They'll sit there all day. You're going to eat food on your plate. Watch me. Okay. Respect is something you have to earn. It's not just that it's easy. It's not easy to earn their respect. Children go through the eyes stages with parents. The eyes stages with parents, you see. They idolize their parents. They feel like mom and dad can do anything and that they're the greatest thing on earth. That's usually when they're like this tall, you know. And then there's a stage when they demonize their parents. Mom and dad are the source of all of their miseries. Won't let me have any fun. Little Johnny's mom and dad down the street lets him do it. Why can't I do it? Go move him with little Johnny then if they'll let you. They demonize. And then they come to the stage where they utilize their parents. Dad, can I borrow the keys to the car? Mom, I need $100 to put gas in it. And finally, it comes to the stage where they humanize their parents, where they realize that their parents are only human. Mom and dad are only human. And so, you know, isn't it amazing how our feelings about certain things change through the years? One mother was talking about how, you know, she changed from her first child to her last child. And she said, you know, when my oldest daughter coughed or sneezed, I called the ambulance. And off we went, you know, to the emergency room. My youngest son, he swallowed a dime. I told him, well, that's coming out of your allowance. So there you go. Isn't that the way we get, you know, when you raise certain ones? You know, the first one and then the last one. I've seen that happen in some of our children's lives as well. Parents are not perfect in spite of their imperfections. They deserve your respect no matter how old you are because God put them in your life. They brought you into this world. And moms always say, I can take you out as well. Last, fulfill the reward that is declared by God. It's verse 12, and it says, honor thy father and thy mother. Notice it says, this is the first command with promise. It says in verse 12, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This verse gives us a promise that involves honoring our parents. God's word speaks to two rewards. First, God promises to grant you an enriched life. Colossians 3:20. And he says to children, obey your parents. He says, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. This is well-pleasing unto the Lord. I don't know about you, but I like to please the Lord. And so honor your parents. Obey your parents if you're younger. But it's well-pleasing to the Lord. And he says, when you honor your parents, he says that thy days may be long upon the land, is what he says. The word well speaks of that which is good. God's promise is that he will bless us with good if we honor our parents. And then, got to hurry, God's pledge to give you an extended life. You know, the commandment here, it encourages us to honor our parents so that thou mayest live long upon the earth. God promises extension of life right here. You know, dare I say, you know, that if I didn't honor and respect my parents and I didn't obey sometimes, I was thinking, you know, some of what the other kids did around that, I wouldn't have been living very much. I wouldn't live very long. Because they would have taken me out, so to speak. It wouldn't have been good. My days would have been shortened, I'm sure. Now understand, this does not mean that you'll live to be, if I honor my parents, that I'm going to live to be 80, 90, 100, 150 years old. But it does promise that additional days will be added to the life that God had determined for you beforehand as well. And so you can actually increase those days through honor and obedience with your parents, because that's what God says. If you want to live well, you want to live longer, God says, honor your mother and your father. That's the family business. Do you honor your parents? Do you honor them by thanking them for what they've done? Huh? Do you honor them by forgiving their mistakes? Moms and dads make mistakes all the time. Do you honor your parents by living your life according to Scripture? Think about this. Mom and Dad, are you earning the respect of your children? Do you teach your children the Word of God? Do you train them to respect others as well? You know, it's not too late. Say, oh, but they're out of the house, you know, and they're gone. But, you know, it's not too late to you to live your life for them, to have an impact on them right here, right now, today, going forward. Lord, I can't go back, and I can't put the toothpaste back into the tube. I can't go back and live my life, but from this day forward, Lord, if you give me the strength, you give me the opportunity, I will be what you want me to be. I will glorify you, and I will work toward earning the respect of my children once again. Maybe you're here today and you've got children that have gone off the rails. Don't take it upon yourself to feel guilty. That's Satan. Satan provides guilt. God sends conviction in your heart. And if it's partly your fault, go to them. Seek forgiveness and say, I did wrong. Please forgive me. But understand this, it's their responsibility before God if they're out of the house. And then begin to pray for them and work with them as well. That's what God wants. God wants us to be in the family business, honoring our parents, praying for our children, our grandchildren, making sure, first and foremost, that they know Jesus as Savior. Pray for their salvation if they don't know Christ. Pray for them if they're not in service for the Lord. Pray for them if they're not the parent that they should be as well. Nothing greater than the power of prayer right at your disposal. And you can pour out your heart to God and God will listen. It's up to you. What are you going to do today? Are you going to be about the family business today? Honoring your mom and dad. Working with your children, your grandchildren that are coming up behind you as well. Let's not leave out of here the same way we came in. Maybe you're here today and children have hurt you. Then you come and you respond to God and just leave it at the altar. God, here it is. Lord, I'm going to ask you to heal this hurt that's in my life. Then you come. God is here to listen to you. Stand with me. God is soft.